I want to set you some homework, and the homework is on the other side of the piece of paper. So it's not hard homework, at least I don't think it is. I want us to do something in Pete's absence. And the first part, the easy part of the homework, is I want us to remember these. Not the email addresses, that might be a bit complicated. But I want us to remember these. Pete has described these as visions and values of the church. And it's something that the leadership team has been talking about for some months. And then Pete has led various church services about these things. Now, in his time, he's going to be away now. The focus of these three is going to be the middle one, receive the Spirit. So aside from harvest, remembrance, an Advent service, and next week's tear fund, all of the other Sundays that Pete isn't here are going to be themed on this idea of the middle one, receive the Spirit. So please, in Pete's absence, let's help him think that the things that he's been trying to talk to us for a while are ingrained, are embedded, are part of our thought processes and part of our of where the church is going. So the next five, and I'm going to say this before Alfie notices, here, extravagant is spelt correctly. Here, it isn't. So I do apologise, you know, whatever. But these five, and these are around the room. Extravagant generosity is over there. Risk-taking mission and service. Intentional faith development. Radical hospitality. Passionate worship. And certainly the services that church members are going to take, I'm going to try to get and insist, I guess, that people who are church members who are taking the services, part of what they talk about on a Sunday will reflect at least one of these. So today, receive the Spirit is what I'm going to talk about, but I'm also going to talk about intentional faith development. So putting yourself in the place where you are a stronger Christian tomorrow than you were today. So intentional faith development, something deliberate, something purposeful about the way that you live your life that will make you closer to God, that will make you a stronger person, will make you have stronger faith. Well, just let's see how that goes. But that's what I'm going to try and talk about today. So Pete has also given passages that he would like people to work through. So this is mine for today. So let's pray. And then we'll do a Bible reading, and then we'll see where that leads us. Dear Lord, for the next 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it turns out to be, I pray that you will give me the words, and that my words will be your words. And I pray for everyone here, including me, that each of us will be able to listen to not only the words that are spoken, but the words that we hear. Help us to work out that bit of what I'm about to say that really makes a difference, and help us to take that into next week and beyond. Amen. Okay. So, what was it? John 16. I think the version I've got up on the screen is slightly different from the NIV, but it will do just the job. So this is all Jesus. I think in the red book, red letter version of the Bible, I think this is all in red. If anyone's got one with them, they could just confirm that for me. It is. Okay, this is all in red. So here we go. There was a cartoon I saw the other day, and it just had Jesus with a Bible. And he's just telling somebody, I've highlighted the best bits in red. Maybe that's true. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yeah, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service. And these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go away to him who sent me. None of you asks me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of it on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, I'm going to talk about two bits, and I'm just going to probably mention the kind of convoluted bit at the end. He says this, and you say this, and we say this, and the Spirit says this, and all that kind of stuff. It seems as though that last bit is basically saying that God speaks to Jesus about things. So God and Jesus are the same, and then the Spirit only speaks to us through what the words that Jesus has said. So it's like a convoluted way of saying, yeah, you know that Trinity thing? Yes. So God, the Father, and the Spirit, yes. Sorry, Father, Spirit, Son, yes. If you know one, you know the others. The words that the Spirit says are the sort of words that Jesus would have said. The words that Jesus said are the sort of words that God would have said. Right. First bit. This isn't to do particularly with the title. I just thought this was interesting. I think the disciples were often a little bit confused about what Jesus said because they sometimes thought he was talking in riddles. And sometimes when he said something really plainly, they had to overthink it a little bit because they were trying to work out what the parable meant. So I don't know whether they listened to Jesus all the time, whether they got everything he said. But I've just highlighted a couple of bits in green. So Jesus says to the disciples, da, 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 people are going to kill you. Da, 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 but I'm now going away. Right, now let's read that with a bit of a pause. Just imagine, you are the disciples. I can just be Jesus for a moment. Don't let that freak you out. But you can be the disciples. I'll just be Jesus for a moment. They will put you out of the synagogues. And the time is coming that whoever kills you will say they are doing God's service. But I'm now going away to him who sent me. Is none of you going to ask me where I'm going? None of you ask you where I'm going. So, Jesus is... Right, so let's do that again. You're going to be put out of the synagogues, and the people who kill you are going to say they are doing God's service. But I've got to go away. Is no one asking me? Yeah, thanks, yeah. Don't know the story now. But if this isn't to do with my title at all. It's just a thing. The disciples heard two stories there, and they were only really bothered about the one that affected them. It's going to be hard work for you, and I've got to go. Tell us about how it's going to affect us. But there's no one. Jesus comments on it. None of the disciples, his trusted friends, his loved brothers, none of them say, where are you going, Jesus? They're suddenly, what, it's going to be hard for me. So they are wrapped up in where they are. Now, not a massive thing. It's not to do with my little yellow words, but it just struck me that that was interesting. That even the disciples were more bothered about themselves, maybe, than Jesus, the Christ. That's amazing. Okay. So, I want to look at this green bit. He, the Spirit, He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So the Spirit isn't making stuff up on his own. The Spirit will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he's hearing those things from God and from Jesus. And he will tell you things to come. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will tell you things. He, the Spirit, will tell you things. That's amazing. You can understand how Jesus would tell the disciples things because he's standing there with them. Jesus says, he, the Spirit, will tell you things. I'm going away, but he will tell you things. Now, receive the Spirit. Receive is a verb. It's a doing word. Intentional means on purpose. The Spirit will tell you things. I know I wrote this for me. How are you going to listen? Now, if receive is a verb, if intentional means on purpose, and I'm supposed to be listening for the Spirit telling me things, how am I going to listen? And if you want to join me in this, then please do. Because I don't mind if this is just for me. How are you? This board here is asking me that question. But I hope the board is asking you that question as well. How are you going to listen? He will tell you things. You know, when we're looking for promises in the Bible, Jesus doesn't have to stand up and say, I promise he will. It's just a word. It's just a sentence that Jesus uses. He doesn't have to pre-say, I promise that. He has said it. That'll do. He will tell you things. The Spirit will tell you things. And maybe what should be added to that is, he will tell you things whether you are listening or not. So if receive is a verb, and if intentional means on purpose, and the Spirit will tell me things, that question is to me, but I hope it's to you as well. How are you going to listen? When? Where? And how? Now, the how bit is complicated. I've put that last. Where? Where are you going to sit yourself physically so that you can listen? Thank you to folks who know about my job intricacies over the last few weeks and months. I now find that I'm working for a school in Solihull, and I'm working as a science teacher rather than someone on the senior leadership team. So I'm getting home really early. So suddenly, my when could be that time that I've suddenly found for myself. There was a speaker I heard ages ago at Greenbelt who couldn't work out when in the day they were going to do listening. So on week one of their little journey, they set their alarm clock 5 minutes earlier. Then week two, another 5 minutes earlier. Then week three, another 5 minutes earlier. And a few months in, they were getting up 3/4 of an hour earlier than they'd been getting up before. And it was a sacrifice and it was a chore, I guess. But they built themselves a when. Where? Am I going to turn up from work and stick the telly straight on? Yes, of course I am. So maybe I shouldn't. And maybe the where is actually where I would normally sit, but with nothing else going on. Maybe while the weather's nice, the where is in the garden. Maybe it's taking the dog for a walk. But you, just choose. Choose answers to those questions. If we are going to listen, I'll go back one. How are you going to listen? How are you going to listen? Receive is a verb. Intentional means on purpose. So how are you going to listen? When? Find a time. Where? Find a place. How? This is going to be different for everybody. Some of you folks are well in tune with what God wants in your life already. So for you folks, it may well be that you just have to answer that question yourself. For those folks that are new to this, and let's not forget, the disciples were new to this. They didn't even know about this idea of the advocate or the Holy Spirit. They knew the word Spirit from the Old Testament, but they didn't know that Jesus was going to clear off and be replaced. They were new to it. Jesus says to them, he wills tell you of things to come. So the disciples had to learn how to listen to the Spirit. And that's not too bad, is it? Being in the same shoes as the disciples, that's not too bad at all. So choose when, choose where, how. So some ideas. How? If you feel that you are new to this, maybe the how you listen to the Spirit is you find out about the sort of things that Jesus would have said. There are Bibles and there are websites with these red words, the words of Jesus. Find out the sort of person that Jesus was. Find out the sort of person that things that Jesus would have said. And those are the sort of things that you would be listening for in your head, in words you are reading, in thoughts, in images. If you suddenly have a flash of an image and it doesn't sound like the sort of thing Jesus would say, it's just daydreaming. If you have a word or a thought or an image and it sounds exactly like the sort of thing that you would say yourself, maybe that's not it either. But let's be intentional. First two jobs are easy. Find a time. Find a place. And the third job is more tricky, but I am on that journey with you, so let's share those stories over the next 3 months. Right, backtrack. That's my last slide, so I'm going to backtrack. To there. The Spirit will not speak on his own authority. The Spirit is not just making stuff up. The Spirit is saying the things that God would say. The Spirit is saying the things that Jesus would say. Whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things. Now, it says he will tell you things to come. I guess that's fine. That's lovely. That means it's not all about mistakes from the past. It's not about the things that happened yesterday and the day before. He will tell you things to come. If we cut out all the other words there and look at that, the Spirit will tell you things. Receive is a verb. Intentional means on purpose. The Spirit will tell you things. So how are you going to listen? You can hear this stuff through the Bible. You can hear this stuff through other people. You can hear this stuff through speeches and talks and things on the internet. You can hear it in your head. You can hear it as words and thoughts whilst you are praying. But if this is intentional, you're not going to hear those things unless you give it time and space. Let's be intentional. This is to me as well. Let's be intentional. When, where, and how? So, of the eight things that were on the back of that piece of paper, today we've looked at receive the Spirit and the idea of intentional faith development. Let's do this journey together. I just so want Pete to come back and find a place that has continued to grow, even though he's not here with us. Intentional faith development. And let's look and listen for those times in our lives where he will tell you things.